This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of March 4th. Let's start with some local news. Low-income food distribution set March 28th. St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Gifford will sponsor a food distribution Saturday, March 28th at Community Service Center, 520 East Wabash Avenue, Rantoul. Distribution will begin about 9 a.m. and continue until 10:30 a.m. or when the food runs out. Low-income residents of Champaign County are eligible for the program. Participants should bring a box, an ID with current address. There is a limit of one recipient per household. Call the center at 893-1530 with questions. Gambling, alcohol, drug assessment counseling available due to state contract. From Rantoul. Cultivadores Latino Center and its partner entity, Alpha Omega Counseling, have been awarded a $204,000 annual contract, renewed every fiscal year by Illinois Department of Human Services for gambling, alcohol, and drug assessments and counseling. The contract also calls for early intervention in local schools for at-risk youth in middle school and high school. Cultivadores director, Nelson Cuevas, said in-school and after-school support groups will be provided. We have to bring awareness and prevention education to all three areas and other at-risk behaviors that go along with these addictions, Cuevas said. It could be gangs, delinquency, truancy, grades not going well. These are all signs of at-risk behavior. He said the programs will be implemented at no charge to the school districts. Children age 11 and older will be eligible. Cultivadores is a local agency, Cuevas said. We want to make sure that these resources are implemented in our community first before we expand to Champaign and nearby towns. Cultivadores covers Region 3, which is Champaign County. Cuevas' wife, Esther, is the social worker for Alpha Omega. She will cater to families needing case management, referrals, interpretation services, said Cuevas, who is a state-certified addiction counselor. He said a survey will begin soon on gambling addiction. Until we put our outreach plan to work, we won't know exactly what extent gambling has become a problem, Cuevas said. The Year of the Rat. Fisher students study, celebrate Chinese New Year. Second grade students at Fisher Grade School rang in the Chinese New Year, the Year of the Rat. Students compared Chinese New Year with how the holiday is celebrated in the United States. In China, people visit with family and friends, exchange gifts, and have a special feast. Students also learned that the color red brings good luck, and the tradition of the dragon and loud noises are used to scare away bad luck and bring in good luck for the year. Students also studied the country of China by looking at places on the map, the highest mountain, capital, and rivers in China. They learned how to use chopsticks by eating rice and ate mandarin oranges, a symbol of fortune and abundance. The panda, a native to South Central China, was studied as well. Students took a virtual tour to the San Diego Zoo and watched the pandas. They also read several books, The Empty Pot, Tiki Tiki Tembo, The Story of Pink, and The Three Pandas, just to name a few. To conclude their celebration, students had a dragon parade down the halls of Fisher Grade School. Cannabis odor, vaping issues at high school. From Rantoul. Modern times present different challenges for educators. With the legalization of recreational cannabis, Rantoul Township High School educators noticed more students smelling of pot. The continued using of vaping materials also presents a concern. Assistant Principal Brooke Billing said students haven't necessarily been using cannabis before school, but have been around those who have. One good thing, the problem seems to have tapered off in recent weeks. It's always kind of been an issue, Billing said. I don't know if we could say we've seen an influx at all. Billings said the problem was more significant when classes resumed after Christmas break. It appears to have tapered off in the last month. I think we have to be more mindful how we address it now, Billings said, noting that cannabis smell causes disruptions among students and staff. Kids aren't able to focus. Everybody wants to talk about it. The teacher is then concerned. Amy Jones, Dean of Students for sophomores and juniors, said it could be a disruption, not just pot. If it's disturbing enough that the teacher notices it, or the kids notice it, whether it's a pot odor or body odor, if it's the drug smell, it goes down to administration. If it's more of a body odor, it usually goes to a social worker. Sometimes it's just their coat. If they remove their coat or backpack, we keep them in the office or put them in a bag or spray them with Febreze or send them on their way. We've had some cases that even when they take their coat off, it's still embedded in their clothing. We call their parent and explain what's going on and that the student needs to go home and change clothes. Billings said they don't want to keep students out of school any longer than necessary. What we found, kids are smelling like cannabis because they're in contact with it in the car. So-and-so gave me a ride to school, not necessarily a mom or a dad, but maybe a friend of a friend or a sibling or a cousin. Jones said most students are upfront and honest about where it came from. They're like, I rode in the car and it definitely smelled. Or, last night my backpack was at my cousin's, Jones said. Billings said when a student comes in the front doors at the school, the wind blows the odor through the halls, and all of a sudden everyone is like, whoa, it's a vacuum around here. The vaping problem? Educators are also seeing an influx in vaping pens and Juuls. Vaping is restricted to those 21 and older. There's a concern for their safety, and we explain that to the kids if they're ever found with one or reported to have been seen with one. There will be consequences, Billings said. They're just having a hard time connecting, well, that won't happen to me. Giving them the business. Program helps high schoolers create entrepreneurial opportunities. Area students are getting a first-hand look at the businesses that shape this area. Students from Fisher, Paxton, and Gibson City are taking part in Prairieland CEO. Creating entrepreneurial opportunities is the key component of the program. Participating from PBL High School are Emily Adwell, Mackenzie Bruns, and Dylan Raub. Fisher students are Anastasia Camp and Danny Burke. CGMS students are Zevi Minden, Nathan Doffenbaugh, and Emma Kurtenbach. Adwell is the CEO of the group, with Doffenbaugh taking on the CFO responsibilities and Kurtenbach taking on the COO role. The students are all seniors at their respective schools. Said Adwell, we're basically learning how to create business relationships and how to network with people. We usually go and visit businesses and they tell us a little bit about how they got their start, but we also have people come in and speak to us. We get to hear about their journey and how they got into the business world. It's really different for everybody. It's a unique experience to interact with people who are older than us and also people who are closer to our age to kind of see how you can start a business as young as 20 or start a business as old as 80. It's really interesting. Bren said the students in the CEO group meet together each day. They change from town to town each month. This is the first year for this area to have the program, Rob said. Bruns said the students had to apply to take part in the program. Good grades and work ethic are part of the requirements. I got into it because of the business background, because that's what I want to do, Bruns said. But it also teaches a lot of other good skills. Adwell said she primarily got into the program because it's such a great leadership class. You learn, obviously, speaking skills, and you become more confident in your ideas and speaking to people. It's not all just about business, she said. Brent said they have also had people visit their class and teach them about etiquette and time management. The classes meet from 6:45 to 8:30 a.m. every day. While they have people come to see them, Adwell said they also have the opportunity to go outside the community. One recent trip was to Champaign for a visit to Chick-fil-A. The program offers the students a year-long two-credit high school course. There is a facilitator, Shauna Horton, and a board made up of people from the communities in the program area. A lot of this is about the business and the contacts, Rob said. It's mainly for students to get more experience in business and their own knowledge from people who have already gone through it. Adwell said she enjoys the class and wants to go into athletic training. I feel like that's a job where I'm going to have to be very social and work with all different age groups of people and speak to different people, she said. What I've got out of this class is just being more confident with my ideas and my speaking skills. It helped me grow there and also being a leader. We all have different roles. They ended up electing me as the president of our class, so I've had to learn to take on more responsibility and be representative of multiple people. Brun said she already knew what she wants to do when she completes her college career. I want to go into business. I want to one day own my own business. It's just helped me realize even more that's something I want to do, Brun said. It's taught me how to network and talk to people better and not be so scared and stressed out about that. Brun said the students have to create their own business for the class. She plans to develop a car detailing service. We're going to be doing something different. Ardwell said her individual business will be doing health coaching, which obviously goes into what I want to do as my profession. Rob said he plans to start a roasted nuts business. One of our teachers actually got me thinking about it, he said. I wanted to go south and start farming pecans because they are a really good profitable business. I started thinking about it that you can get nuts around here. It's a good, nice snack. They are nutritional. I've already got my own samples. Adwell said many people in the communities have been helpful. We have a group of 12 mentors that we meet with on the first Wednesday of every month. They are business people from Gibson, Paxton, and Fisher. They may not necessarily own their own businesses, but they are part of a business in town, Adwell said. They have been so helpful along the way, listening to our individual business plans or things that we are inspired by throughout this program. They are just really invested and have been really helpful. We're just lucky to have people who have had years of experience to back us up with some. Along with the individual businesses the students are developing, they also started with a micro business at the beginning of the year as a class. They are now gearing up for a bigger business event as a class. We started out in the beginning of the year with a micro business as a class to get our own identification for people, Rob said. With the funds from that, we move on to the class business, and then after the class business is all said and done, we move on to our individual businesses. The class made more than $6,200 from its micro business. We went out and had a sales day and sold everything we needed in that one day, Adwell said. They then took those profits and held their class business, which was a masquerade murder event, February 29th. They hired a professional group from Chicago to perform. The class had the event catered and held a 50-50 raffle and silent auction. For the silent auction, we've been working on contacting multiple small businesses in the towns and just people we can think of to donate items. Our class obviously wants to get funds for our class next year, but we're wanting to showcase the small businesses in our towns. That's like the best way we can think of to show them off. Adwell said they have learned a great deal from this. The students said they appreciate getting to know the students from other communities. I know I've made a really good friend through it already, Brun said. I've met more people from Fisher now that I didn't know before. Those relationships are important. Adwell said the small class size has allowed the students to identify each other's strengths, which can then be a benefit when they start working on specific tasks. Kurtenbach said she has liked building relationships around the towns. There's a lot of small businesses in Fisher, Gibson City, and Paxton, she said, noting that they have been able to get acquainted with some of those business leaders. Kurtenbach planned to have a dry cleaning business, where she will have an app that allows people to contact her to pick up their dry cleaning, which she will then take to a local dry cleaner for her clients. Binden said his business will be one that allows him to power wash houses. He said he believes there is a market for the service. He, too, said he has learned from the class. It's shown me what having a small business is about, he said. Binden also said that the communities have been supportive. The program wouldn't be anything without the community support. Doffenbach said he thought the program is a good way to connect community to community. Relationships are important, he said. He said they also learned about the communities themselves. There are some really cool things we've learned. We learned that there's a small business here that created parts for NASA, he said. For his individual businesses, he plans to start an Uber-like service in Gibson City and help people get where they need to be if they don't have a vehicle. Burke said she has appreciated the public speaking and responsibility skills she has learned. She also has liked to getting to know others in the different communities. Her individual business is going to be Little Bunny's Tutoring. She will have an online schedule of when she is available for tutoring, and people can contact her to schedule an appointment. This program is really good for transitioning from high school to real life, Burke said. We are learning all the ins and outs. Each of the students is involved in many other activities besides this program, so they are already using some of the time management skills they have learned. Burke is involved in National Honor Society and Student Section. Doffenbaugh plays varsity basketball and varsity baseball. Binden is involved in FFA at Gibson City. Kurtenbach is on the student council, participates in Interact and Project Ignition. Camp is cheer captain of the Fisher High School cheer squad. Adwell plays varsity basketball and is student council president. Bruns is also on student council, plays volleyball, soccer, track, and basketball, and is a member of FFA. Rob is a member of the marching band at PBL, PBL Robotics and Bridge Team, and takes part in Mississippi Delta trips where students help build houses for others. Adwell said that this is the first year for the program in these skills, and while they didn't really realize all that they were going to accomplish this year, I feel more prepared for college now, she said. Bruns agreed. It's made us all grow up, she said. Sports complex. Work now involves bringing hotels, restaurant, retail to town. All those players and fans who flock to the Rantoul Sports Complex beginning in 2021 will need a place to stay and eat. Rantoul officials are hustling to recruit hotel, restaurant, and retail outlet owners to build the needed sites for the new facility. That's why they are putting in some long hours these days. The $20 million price tag to build the sports complex will be paid for with bonds, grants, donations, and sponsorships. Money coming from additional real estate developed at the site will go to the Tax Increment Financing District Fund to help pay off the bonds. But the economic development needs to happen as soon as possible, not 2 or 3 years down the road. In the TIF district, any increased tax revenues collected as a result of an increase in property values go into the TIF fund and can be used by the city. The sports complex will be built in West Rantoul, south of Rantoul Walmart. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said the Warner family, which owns much of the land surrounding the sports complex site, has also been working on securing development, calling it a cooperative effort. One thing we realized is that utilizing the TIF fund to make the payments on the sports complex development is critically important for us to make that happen more expeditiously, Eisenhower said. He said the village has taken the lead to bring prospects to town, as well as to solicit applications from developers that might be willing to work in the community. We've set the stage from the village's perspective on what types of businesses we're looking for, what opportunities might be available, not just around the sports complex, but around the community as a whole, in terms of what incentives we can offer. And then, once we've done all of that, and there's still interest, we put them in touch, said Christy, with Christy Flukmacher, representing the Warner family. That way, when they go to talk to her about the land, they already know what's available from the village and what opportunities exist, Eisenhower said. Some prospective business representatives, whom village officials have spoken with, are interested in being in the Rantoul area, but not being adjacent to the sports complex, Eisenhower said. His comments were made at a joint State of the Village talk given by him and Chuck Mayor Smith at a recent Rantoul Exchange Club meeting. Smith said Eisenhower has been working relentlessly. The phones are ringing off the hook, Smith said. He's constantly meeting with people. Smith said 80 teams have signed up to play softball and baseball games at the sports complex beginning in 2021, and village officials haven't even gotten around to making arrangements for soccer games, Eisenhower said. Following the meeting, Eisenhower was to meet with several hotel chain representatives to discuss possibly building in Rantoul. Smith said the village has also been working with a Chicago area developer who said he could bring the hotels we need as well as the restaurants. Recognized chains are preferred. We want people to get off the interstate and recognize the brands of restaurants, making them more likely to stop. Smith said the sports complex will benefit not just Rantoul, but Champaign County, and the rest of the area as a whole. He said shopping malls have also expressed interest. Smith said the complex will also be available to area schools, noting that the village officials have spoken. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Roger Toler of Bluntstown, Florida, formerly of Paxton, died February 24th at home. Visitation was held at noon March 6th at Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul. Burial followed in Elmwood Cemetery, Rantoul. Jim Barbier, 87, of Bales Lake, Loda, formerly of Paxton, died February 23rd at home. A mass of Christian burial was held February 28th at St. Joseph Catholic Church, Loda. Burial followed in Glen Cemetery, Paxton, with military rites. Memorials may be made to Gibson Area Ambulance Service or St. Joseph Catholic Church, Loda. Condolences may be offered at bearfuneralservices.com. Jeffrey L. Finnis, 54, of Cape Coral, Florida, formerly of St. Joseph, brother of a Paxton resident, died February 21st at home. His funeral service was held February 29th at St. Joseph Middle School, St. Joseph. Memorial contributions may be made to St. Joseph Middle School Girls Basketball. Online condolences and memories may be made at rosenbaumfh.com. Joseph Lamb, 83, of Savoy, died Monday, February 24th at Country Health Care and Rehab Gifford. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory, 1900 South Philo Road, Urbana. Faris Unzicker Deffenbaugh, 93, of Fisher, died February 24th at Bickford Cottage of Champaign. A celebration of life was held February 28th at Mahomet Christian Church. Burial was held in Willowbrook Cemetery, Fisher. The family suggests donating to Restoration House Ministries of Manchester, New Hampshire. Memories may be posted on her tribute wall at lambyoungfh.com. Sharon Hulls, 75, of Gifford, died February 22nd at Country Health Care and Rehab Gifford. Funeral services were held February 27th at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, St. Joseph. Burial in Copman Cemetery Royal. Memorials may be made to her church or Country Health Nursing Home, Gifford. A memorial service for Leslie Motor Kolbs, Sr. of Rantoul, will be at 5 p.m. Monday, March 9th at Rantoul VFW Post 6750 North Ohio Street. It is open to the public. His ashes will be transported to Chicago for interment March 10th. Mr. Kolbs died February 5th at the VA Hospital, Danville. Larry Meneer, 68, of Hickson, Tennessee, formerly of Gifford, died February 6th in Chattanooga, Tennessee. No services will be held. Lovelis Davis, 53, of Rantoul, died February 20th at Salem Township Hospital, Salem. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, March 7th at Lincoln's Challenge, Chapel 1, 310 Borman Drive, Rantoul. A repast will follow in the lower level of the chapel. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the chapel. Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul, is in charge of arrangements. Howard McKellop, 85, of Rantoul, died March 1st at home. Funeral services were held March 5th at Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul. Burial in Beckman Cemetery, Thomasboro. Memorials may be made to the Champaign County Humane Society. Ricky Fayard, Sr., 62, of Bismarck, died February 29th at home. A celebration of his life will be held from 3 to 6 p.m. Saturday, March 7th, at the Potomac Community Building, with a service to begin at 3:30 p.m. Military honors will follow the service conducted by the Potomac American Legion, Cremation rites have been accorded. A memorial service will also be held at a later date in French Settlement, Louisiana. Blurton Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Memories or photos may be posted on his memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Vernon Lotion, 84, of Paxton, died March 1st at home. Funeral services were held 11 a.m. Friday, March 6th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Flatville. Burial in Beckman Cemetery, Rantoul. Bayer Family Funeral Services, Flatville, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Bernard L. Ben Emkiss, 98, of Seymour, Indiana, a native of Rantoul, died March 1st. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, March 7th at Zion Lutheran Church, Seymour. Burial will follow in Emmanuel Lutheran Cemetery with full military graveside rites conducted by VFW Post 1925, American Legion Post 89, Disabled Veterans 47, Korean and Vietnam Veterans, all of Seymour. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday at Voss and Sons Funeral Home, Seymour, and from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials to be written to the Lutheran Men's Chorus, Trinity Lutheran High School, Zion Lutheran High School, or a charity of choice in care of Voss and Sons Funeral Service. Online condolences may be given on the funeral home website at vossfuneralservices.com. Joe Pearson, 80, a resident of Forres, Scotland, formerly of Rantoul, died January 30th. Peggy Lou Rose, 84, of Williamsport, Indiana, died Tuesday, March 3rd at Franciscan Health, Lafayette, Indiana. Graveside services will be at 3:30 p.m. Monday, March 9th at Partlow Cemetery, Armstrong. Visitation will be from 2 to 3 p.m. Monday at Blurton Funeral Home, 400 North Vermilion Street, Potomac. Blurton Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Memories or condolences may be posted on memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week, and now we'll return and finish with local news. From the opinion page, Dave Porter. Grandkids get special treatment. My granddaughter handed me a slip of paper and a plastic card. It looked like a credit card, but was a promotional piece of some sort. You'll need these, Papa Dave, she said. What do I need them for? She looked at me like I was silly or perhaps an idiot. To get into your room. I set them aside as I was busy doing something else, but an hour or so later I went to the bedroom. There was a slip of paper with a number on it taped to the door. I looked around and no one was in the room in which I was standing. The door doesn't have a lock on it. I could just walk right in. After all, it's my room. But I went back to the dining room where I had set my pretend key card and picked it up. I went back to the bedroom door and dutifully pretended to unlock the door. We were playing hotel, apparently, and I knew that Kelsey would be asking me later whether I had used my... Kelsey can make a game out of anything. At a restaurant, she picked up the menu and declared, I'm thinking of a word that's on the menu, and you have to try to figure out what the word is. The hotel game was intermittent. She'd lose interest and start on something else. Then someone new would come over and she'd issue him a key card. It wasn't a game with winners and losers. It was more like an alternate reality. Halfway into the weekend, I was wishing we'd had more kids just so we could have more grandkids. By the end of the weekend, I was glad that we didn't. They can wear you out. The next time won't come soon enough, though. Maybe we'll play hotel again. I have no doubt that the room numbers will still be taped to the doors. It's our way of triggering a happy memory every time we open the door. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press with you. I hope to read with you again soon.